Welcome to Movie Maniacs. Mike Rags and Chuck Curry discussing the greatest movies of all time and all the new films in theaters and streaming that you need to know about. Like us, rate us, share us. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry.
All right, we are back with Movie Maniacs. I am Mike Rags, Chuck Curry with me as always. The middle of summer now, as the 4th of July is coming and gone. I hope you enjoyed your week off. We've got lots to do today, including talking about movies about summertime. It just reminds us of the summer and all that kind of fun stuff. And yes, Jaws and the likes will probably be discussed later on today. Plus, a couple of movie icons passed away the past couple of weeks. We'll talk about them. And some movie news, Chuck. Always some movie news, even though there's no movies being released. There are movie news. Let's bring him in right now, Chuck Curry. Chuck, got to ask, have you watched Hamilton yet?
Actually, I turned it on in my smoothie shop because we have Disney+.
Oh, good
Plus.
Idea. Good
so
idea.
I watched a little of it. I got to watch the whole thing to give you a real opinion.
I did, and I liked it. It's very entertaining.
When you say liked it, like really liked it, like were you moved? I was
moved a little bit. There's certain portions of it I was
now,
moved.
Now, attention span of the average age goer. Who's going to like this?
I would say probably 25 to 35, that kind of.
Really?
That love
okay.
Musicals. Yeah, I think what the good thing is, too, it's a good history lesson, if nothing else.
Okay.
Some great songs in it. I mean, it's not my cup of tea as far as musically, but...
Well, it got Disney subscribership up. I think almost 600,000 apps were downloaded first weekend.
I'm not sure if it reaches the height of the praise of the hype of the play, but...
Now you got a caveat where you're...
Well, the caveat is, I mean, obviously you probably have to see this thing on Broadway, which we may never do, Chuck. Now, Broadway shut down till next year at least.
Why? What's going on?
Oh, you know, just a little bug.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about summer. We're in summer, right?
Yeah.
It's been really warm and humid here.
It's been great.
Northeast Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I know it's easily the weirdest summer of all time in my life. It just feels like every day blends into the next. I guess today is Saturday. It feels, I don't know. Every day is the same, Mike.
And the weird thing is, you know, back in April when we're like, well, baseball's not going to start. And you're like, how can you have summer without baseball? And now we're at July 11th, and it's almost like you forget that baseball even existed. The longer it's away,
I agree.
The easier it is to
so
not
let me miss. Ask you. Let me ask you a question while we're bantering here. Let's first talk entertainment, and then just would they learn to get on for a couple of years if they had to without sports? So what would be, and then without new first run movies, what do you think the effect would be on people?
I don't think it'd be, I think we're seeing some of the effect.
Yeah, I do.
The anger, the unrest. I think that's part of the problem. I think there's no release for these people.
You know, it's interesting. I know we do mostly an entertainment sport, movie TV show, but you know, I listen to sports talk radio, and I got to tell you, you know, you could tell a host that trying to get all in on just the topic of baseball and the stats and the players. It's got to be weird for them. I mean, it's sort of,
yeah.
Because in the back of their mind, do they believe they're actually going to go on the field for opening day and play 60 games? I don't know if they really believe it.
I don't know.
I hope they do.
I hope they do. And NHL just announced they're coming back. I hope they do too. Look, they're doing it in other countries. I don't know why they can't do it here. I don't know if there's any evidence, Chuck, that playing a baseball game will spread the virus any worse.
No, I know. But if you look at the stats the other day, I was looking at like the five top countries with COVID per one day. Germany had 300. Norway had 47 in one day. We had 55,000. We're a little out of whack, and I don't really understand why we're that out of whack, being In this kind, it just doesn't make sense to me. But
it doesn't. I know we have more people, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. And movie theaters, you know, I asked my daughter the other day, I said, do you miss going to the movies? And she thought about it almost as if she forgot that we used to go to the movies, you know, and that's,
I want to,
she's 10.
I know. I just want to bounce into going to the movies now. So the theater I'm involved in, Pocono Cinema, which I'm the CFO and the program director here in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. It's a nonprofit, been involved for almost 9 years, heavily involved, love the theater. So we open July 3rd, right? So there's no new movies to play. So we book Superman the movie for 1 week and the Goonies for a 34th anniversary for 1 week. Free. We do it free. The DCPs, Mike, they look, Goonies especially, looks amazing. Superman right. was always sort of a soft shot movie from the, you know, 1978, although it has some really nice color palettes in the film and certain parts of the movie. But so anyway, it's free. We get, for the week, 18 people for Superman, 38 for the Goonies.
Wow.
People donated overall about $600. So we paid payroll. Yesterday we book.
Are you a little surprised by that? I'm a little surprised by that.
I was hoping for more, but you know what? I got to tell you, the people who came, a lot of them called
right,
and said, how many people are going to be in the theater?
Right.
There is no doubt. There is no doubt. There is a absolute paranoia about sitting indoors. And that has really gotten to the psyche of the American public here. It's going to take
time. I will say
time.
This, Chuck. I also think that's geographic too. I don't feel that as much in the Midwest.
Maybe. I definitely listen to here. I would tell you every single person, almost every single person in the Poconos that I see going outside when they enter a store, they're wearing a mask.
Right.
I own two ice cream parlors and a smoothie shop. I would tell you 99.9% of the people that walk in wear a mask, and I could feel the fear and the paranoia has ratcheted up over the last two and a half weeks. So anyway, I sat down and I watched Superman the movie, and I tell you, the movie's tremendously, tremendously enjoyable. Christopher Reeve was Superman, and there's two scenes in that movie, like upon reflection, because I've spent a few years since I watched it, seeing it in a movie theater, and the Clark Kent scene in the cornfield before he goes to Metropolis.
Right.
It's tremendous power. And you don't see it's, you know, 1978, Richard Donner, that scene is so epic, and it just sets up the forward momentum of that film. And the other scene that I just absolutely love in that movie is the dog whistle scene by Lex Luthor when he calls Superman mm-hmm. to his lair. It just feels perfect in the scripting, that scene. And it works beautifully.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie. Definitely one of the best origin stories ever. So
no doubt.
You were prepared for half capacity. Is that what you were doing?
It wasn't really a worry because, you know, we had maybe two or three people. There was one show, Goonies, had 10 people, but the theater fits 125. So we were prepared for half capacity. We did not expect it, though.
But the weather's been good, right?
We roped off seats. Socially distanced, right. People walk in, they have to wear a mask. The seats are sanitized in between shows. And this real quickly, yesterday, new week Friday, so we book E.T., the Extraterrestrial from 1982.
I'm not familiar with that one. What's that
one? Yeah, one of the best movies ever made. We had 13 people, actually, for two shows. It started to ratchet up a little. And we booked Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. My strategy, now let's try to see where the older crowd is, and we had seven paid. Next week we're going to do Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Jurassic World, and Alfred Hitchcock's The Bird. So, we're going to see where the wind blows.
Now, Ghostbusters was the number one movie again.
It was nationwide. Yes. It was on. They re-released it on like 600 screens. It did $560,000. Number one movie. Ghostbusters, also number one, 1984. So who would have thought, Mike, if somebody told you the number one movie in the country would be $550,000 and it would be Ghostbusters, would you have took that bet? I wonder what the Vegas odds would have been on that one.
No. And I wonder if Ivan Reitman and them, they get a cut and, And all, do they get residuals from all that money coming in again? I guess so, right? I mean, if they had a back end on that box office, do they get that again?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal was, but probably.
Now, the big movie released this week, and Tom Hanks made the rounds on talk shows. He was a little upset, verbally about the fact that Greyhound was going straight to Apple Plus. I haven't gotten a chance to see it, but it also, Netflix has The Old Guard, which is supposed to be pretty good with Charlize Theron.
Was that made for Netflix?
I think Old Guard was made for Netflix. Yes, okay. It was.
All right.
But that those are two, frontline movies that are released that you.
Now, I heard the deal on Greyhound. It was a Apple TV bought that movie. I think it was Sony for $70 million. Wow. I'm going to assume that was a break-even production budget for the studio. So they got sort of like, you know what? Let's recoup our money. We're not going to make a profit. Let's sell us off streaming service with very, very deep pockets. Bought it. It's getting good reviews. It just feels weird, Mike.
Yeah, it does.
But it is what it is.
And it's free if you have Apple Plus as well. And Hulu's got Palm Springs that comes out with Adam Sandberg, a comedy that's been released too. So you have some new blood out there in the waters, per se, of what to watch on streaming. And, of course, everybody's still watching Hamilton. But let's get into some movie news. The best movie news of all this week, Chuck, one of my favorite books of all time, which was adapted into a great science fiction movie by Steven Spielberg, Ready Player One, will release Ready Player Two. Ernest Cline, the author, is going to actually do two more books. And I absolutely love that book. If you haven't read the book and you just saw the movie, you can still go back and enjoy it. Just a cornucopia of pop culture.
What is that? What is that?
Cornucopia,
mean?
Chuck. Go look it
up. You're going to confuse me and the audience. But
so the first film made $582 million worldwide. We both loved it.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
And they're going to do another one and maybe another two. And Ernest Cline is campaigning to get Steven Spielberg back to direct.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Of course, he's got West Side Story coming out later this year.
Listen, here's the funny thing about West Side Story. There's been no trailer, really. There's been really not much buzz on the release date. I guess it was scheduled to come out Thanksgiving time, but that's one of those films sort of had a low profile throughout all this COVID positioning of where it's going to go theatrically.
Well, it's hard for anything to have a high profile because a lot of things aren't even production, and there've been.
Let's talk about the big story: the Halloween Kills.
Halloween Kills, yeah, and Carpenter just released another kind of teaser trailer for it too. Tell us about Halloween Kills.
Well, it was supposed to come out this October. You know, the sequel to last year's Halloween, sort of a rebooted sequel with Jamie Lee Curtis. Film on a $10 million production budget, did over $300 million worldwide, very profitable. I think for the most part, the fan base liked it. I did.
Well, if you like movies about psychologists bonding with serial killers, that's your movie.
I got it. So anyway, Halloween Kills, a lot of people looking forward to it this October. Universal makes an announcement the other day, which really sent a shockwave, I think, through the industry and a lot of movie fans, because I think the writing is on the wall with this. They have postponed this release one full year, now coming out October 2021. That's very telling, Mike.
That's a long time.
And it tells you that Universal Pictures is saying, you know what? We know where this is going to go. What's the point of, dancing on ice? So we're going to take it from October 2020 to October 2021. I was saying to myself, okay, just off the top of my head, some of the bigger releases scheduled for this year would be, of course, Chris Nolan's Tenet, Warner Brothers' Wonder Woman 1984. You got Quiet Place 2. You got the newest James Bond movie.
Mulan.
I say Mulan. Well, I say at best, 40% any of these films get released in 2020. But my gut feeling is most of them will get kicked back into the next year. And not the beginning of next year. I think it is like Wonder Woman. I could see Wonder Woman 84 going, okay, we'll go with a June 2021 release. You're talking $150 million movies with marketing campaigns. Yeah, I mean, look at the result of my theater. Not that that's always – not that that's a barometer, but multiplexes at this point are not open. What product are they – what financially – and I know this is – we're talking about this ad nauseum, but you got, say, you got Regal, AMC, Cinemark. Let's say they open in August and these movies get – what are they going to show?
Unhinged.
How are they – yeah – but
and 12 screens.
Well, where is their pipe? Where's their pipeline? How are they going to financially sustain themselves for maybe another 8 months?
They won't. They won't. The only way to do it is if there's a vaccine. That's just the bottom line. All of this stuff is just hinged on a vaccine, which we never know we're going to get, Chuck. No. That's the thing. People keep, you know, well, the vaccine will change everything. Well, yeah. What if it never comes? What if it's like the flu? It comes and goes and you just don't know. Anyway, we're going off topic. The next really big release is Tenet, August 12th now, even though Unhinged does have a July 31st date.
And you can see, when you change the channels, you can see like a five-second trailer to Tenet. They're saving money. Like, it's a very quick, like a four-second scene. Tenet coming August, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Yeah. If anything, they're building some buzz, I guess.
Yeah, but it's the expensive buzz, though.
Yeah, it is.
It costs money.
Other than that, Chuck, the movie news is movies actually going back into production in the UK, the Batman, Jurassic World, Mission Impossible, Fantastic Beasts sequel. They're all starting up again, at least shooting in the UK. That's the other thing here, too, is, you know, with everything going on in the States, they can't even start filming here on a lot of these movies. So thank God there are overseas production companies, Chuck.
Yeah. I mean, also, you know, for the TV industry, that's going to also weigh problems is – what are we going to see in September?
Yeah, it's true. It's real. And let's go old pilots. Bring them all back.
I think TV is an easier – people will watch something. They will. They're home. They'll watch something. I think you could take older properties and
– yeah, we've talked about that.
Remarket it. But, getting people back in movie theaters with, you know, Ghostbusters and – Jurassic Park, yeah, iconic movies, no doubt, but, you know, you're not going to have $100 million openings with classic films. You're not going to have $10 million openings with classic. You're going to have $500,000. Yeah. That's what you're going to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enough.
Chuck, did you see one other funny note I saw? They're actually going to make a Groundhog Day series around the character Ned Ryerson, stayed by Stephen Tobolowsky. I heard that there's a series in the works based on that character, which is quite funny in the film, but I don't know how you're going to get a TV series out of this guy. But I did see that bit of news. I thought that was quite funny.
Oh, that is interesting. There was another one yesterday, I think I found quite fascinating, that HBO Max director Matt Reeves is currently filming The Batman, and Terrence Winter, who is major player, director, writer of The Sopranos, is going to do a Batman universe TV show without the Batman, almost like Gotham, what Fox did with Gotham for HBO Max. That's right. Major talent involved. But again, like, I find these concepts frustrating. You can do all this stuff and you can have a Batman show without the Batman with high quality talent. I mean, it's intriguing.
Yeah. I mean,
but you expand, but.
I just think, well, you did a couple. There's a, you know, the Birds of Prey. I mean, that's Batman's universe, and Batman's not in it. You know, the Suicide Squad.
I got to tell you, I enjoyed a lot of Fox's Gotham. It was wildly inventive. It was really out there, but there was some cool stuff on that show. I think.
Well, your favorite movie last year was Batman without Batman in it. I mean, Joker. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely
Joker's. You know, Joker.
Well, you know. It's funny. Imagine if you released Joker today. Jeez. Imagine if we were able to go to the theaters and we watched that movie today. There's a lot of similarities to what's going on mentally.
It certainly people, is.
You know, and it's quite ironic. You know, we're closer to that world now than we were last year.
Probably.
You know, Chuck, let's talk about a couple of, you know, really mainstays in movies and TV for that matter that passed away the last couple of weeks. And one was the comedy legend, Carl Reiner, a tremendous run of 98 years. Obviously one of the Ocean's 11 in the reboot, but a great director too of some comedies, including The Jerk, He did Lonely Guy with Steve Martin as well. He also directed Summer School, has a cameo in it.
Did he direct The Russians Are Coming? The Russians Are Coming.
He might have, Chuck. He might have. And he actually, obviously, it all started with the Dick Van Dyke Show. And I remember growing up, my mom and dad would watch those reruns.
Yeah.
He was the developer of that, obviously, and was his boss. Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid. I'm a fan of that. Summer Rental. I like that movie as well. He directed. The guy was a comedy gold. And, of course, teaming up with Mel Brooks with The 100-Year-Old Man is gold as well. And he directed Oh God. So the guy's done some great work. And, you know, he pops up in movies every once in a while, and he's quite funny, including the Oceans movie he was really good in.
Yeah, I agree. Great career.
Great career.
Iconic.
And then we lost one of the great composers of all time. Ennio Morricone died at the age of 91. Obviously, the spaghetti westerns with Clint Eastwood, but also, I mean,
Untouchables.
The Untouchables is the one that
I love that score.
I think about that score. He also does a great score with The Mission's, a great score. Yeah. And don't forget, he teamed up with Clint Eastwood again and did a great score for In the Line of Fire as well. He actually
love that movie.
Yeah, he actually won Oscar finally in 2016 for The Hateful Eight, the Quentin Tarantino movie. But nominated for Bugsy, The Untouchables, Mission, a great, iconic, definitely had a different, you knew it was his score, you know, when you saw his movies, Chuck.
Yeah, listen, those, the people who score movies, those composers, the handful of those people, I mean, that is a talent from God. I mean, really, that is, you know, even more than the person who directs the film, which obviously important, the screenwriter. But the composer is so important. I mean, you take John Williams out of Steven Spielberg's life. I don't know. No?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You wonder about any of these films, Chuck. The first screening of a movie without a soundtrack in it has to feel a little weird, you know?
And a lot of these screenwriters, they're scoring these films without even seeing the final product.
Yeah.
Some of them start to score the film before they've seen a bit of footage. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy
how their mind works. I got just one other story before we move on to our main topic. But I was, you know, they're talking about, the Zack Snyder director cut of Justice League, and a lot of this like director's cut type thing. There's rumors of Suicide Squad, David Ayer director's cut. But I see two stories. Sylvester Stallone says, even though he was the director of Rocky IV, says he has a director's cut of Rocky IV.
What?
Yeah. That would be interesting. And also, this supposedly, according to Variety reports, there is a director's cut in the vault of Warner Brothers of Batman Forever, which adds like another half hour to the running time, which is a much darker, more serious cut of that film. Now, Variety reports whether Warner Brothers ever releases it. He's yet to be determined. But I have a feeling you're going to see more of this stuff.
Yeah, that's exciting news.
It's interesting. You know, there's one other bit because we're Poseidon Adventure fanatics, and of course I want to mention Beyond the Poseidon Adventure for no other reason to mention it. But
is there a director's cut of that coming out?
No, but there is a Poseidon, which came out in 2006. Wolfgang Peterson. We talked about this, how it was released at 89 minutes. There is a 2.5 hour cut in the Warner Brothers vault. I want to see it. So HBO Max, here you go.
Is that where it's going to come?
Right. I don't care where it is. I'll watch it. Send me it on a link in my email. I'll watch it. Poseidon, Wolfgang Peterson, 2006, a 2.5 hour cut sitting in the vault over at Warner Brothers. We need to see that, Mike.
How many people stand behind you in that line waiting for that movie to come out? Yeah, you think?
A lot. Okay. A decent amount.
All right. We'll see what happens. Anything else before we go to Fast Five and then
more Josh Lucas, more Kurt Russell.
Who doesn't need all that? Oh, my gosh. Do. Chuck, let's do a Fast Five here. And I'll start with Harrison Ford, whose birthday is actually coming up this weekend, Monday, I believe it is. We've done a whole show on Harrison Ford. I'll ask you this. Harrison Ford, you walk up to a person in the street. And I think it's probably because of the popularity of the new the sequels that came out. But they're going to identify him as Han Solo or Indiana Jones.
I think Indiana Jones.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
The average 25-year-old will do that too?
I just think they're going to say Indiana Jones. I'm going to do that. I can actually, when this show ends, I'm going to go in the street and ask like 20 people.
Will anybody say,
I'll give you, you know, I hate to veer into a different subject. You know,
no, wait a minute.
I employ a lot of young people. Okay. So I'm speaking to one of my college employees.
Harrison Ford?
No, her name's Christina, right? And she's a really appealing, she's 19 years old. She goes to Bloomberg College. Her major is sales. Okay. They have sales as a major at Bloomberg. So anyway, she's one of my favorite employees. She's got a lot of energy. She's a really interesting person, but she knows nothing about pop culture. So I said to her, just teasing, do you know who Batman is? No. Do you know who Superman is? No.
What?
You know who Freddy Krueger is? No. Who is he? Knows nothing. Like, am I, like, and then a couple of the other employees are defending her and say, that's my world. Oh, I know about movies. I know about pop culture. Their generation doesn't. Is that good?
I don't know. It's different world, man. I don't know.
I mean, maybe I'm lost. I don't get it. I mean,
I think I would say they're outliers there, Chuck. That is not normal.
I don't know. I was hoping not, but yeah, I don't think that's normal. Maybe it's more normal than I realize.
No, I don't think it is.
All right, next one. Harrison Ford. Listen, I would go with, you know, Indiana Jones, obviously Han Solo.
Well, let me ask you this. Hold on, Chuck. Yeah, let me ask you this. Make it easy for you. Give me the most underrated Harrison Ford movie that people might not even remember.
He's always done so much high profile stuff. You tell me one. Go ahead.
I would say something like Frantic, which is a decent movie, but maybe with Roman Polanski. How about?
I know the one that's the most polarizing in his career probably is Mosquito Coast.
Mosquito Coast, which I enjoy.
I don't know. I'm not that big a fan.
I would even say his turn as Jack Ryan is a little bit underrated. I know at the time it made a lot of money, but I think people forget that.
I like Clear and Present Danger a lot. Patriot Games.
Patriot Games. Yeah, you missed the boat on that.
You gave me a long time ago. You gave me my first Laserdisc, you gave me Patriot Games. And I remember putting it on, watching it, and I took the disc and I flung it out my window. That's true.
How about
a frisbee?
How about the Frisco Kid with Gene Wilder?
Long time ago. Yeah. That jogged a memory there. I watched that on WHT, one of the first home services of like HBO with Robert. Yeah. I remember that one.
I actually laughed a lot in that movie. How about Robert Forster, who would have had a birthday this weekend, Chuck? One of our favorite cult actors of all time.
Alligator.
He would have been 79 years old. Alligator, is that it?
Yeah, because I remember watching that a lot when I was young.
How about Jackie Brown? I mean,
he's great in that movie.
He's great. I mean, I think he's the crux of that movie, to be honest with you.
His villainous turn in Delta Force?
Oh my gosh.
He was really a nasty villain in that movie. I could not wait for his upcoming. It's like, you got it, Chuck Norris. You got to get that guy.
Yeah, he has to kick him at some point.
And he did.
Yeah, I think he does. One of my favorites. How about his turn?
I like that score.
How about Avalanche? I mean, was the one sane person on that mountain, Chuck, stopping that disaster.
I haven't seen that one in a long time.
He did a lot of bad movies back in the day, but Alligator for me growing up, that's what I constantly watched by him.
Keep moving.
Here's another one, Cameron Crowe, Chuck, which is falls in a category as what have you done for us lately?
We Bought a Zoo doesn't count. I actually love We Bought a Zoo. I know it's not exactly profoundly deep, but I thoroughly listen. It's Jerry Maguire, which to me is the best movie Tom Cruise has ever started. That's saying a lot. I love Jerry Maguire.
Chuck, he hasn't directed a movie since 2015's Aloha, which nobody went to see. Zoo is 10 years old almost. It came out in 2011.
Hard to believe.
You know, he might have jumped the shark with Vanilla Sky, but yeah, it's Jerry Maguire. I do love Say Anything, his first movie. I think that's a classic teenage comedy from the 80s. Come on, let's go. He produced the Roadies show that was on one of the streaming services or one of the pay services, like I think Showtime. But he's got to do something now, no?
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
A great character actor, Chuck. He's done a ton of films. I wonder what will pop up in your head when I say Harry Dean Stanton, who would have been 94 years old this weekend.
I guess the father of Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
That pops in my head. I mean, Repo Man.
Yep. How about he's the first guy to die in Alien
from the Alien. And also Red Dawn.
Red Dawn, Avenge Me. I mean, come on.
Right? Pretty good. Yep.
And he's got a good role in The Green Mile as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he smokes a little. He smoked a lot. He's one of those – you don't see actors. Like, he really – he had a niche of what he did, and it worked very well.
I love that you brought up Pretty in Pink, though. I think maybe that is the one that especially –
most people would know that one.
Yeah. Last but not least, Chuck, good actor here. Nominated for an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave. Chiwetel Ejiofor. Who's done a lot of great work. He's in one of your favorite movies, 2012, as well.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but I do enjoy it. I just saw 2012 on, they did a list of the best and worst disasters, number one worst disaster movie. Well, what? Come on.
No.
Listen, this script goes it goes off course a little in the second act, you know, but I still enjoy it.
People forget he's actually married to... in Love Actually, he's the one that's married to Keira Knightley.
That really goes way back. I didn't realize that.
Do you have one? I mean, I guess it's 12 Years a Slave, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he the partner of Denzel Washington in Inside Man 2? Didn't he play his partner in that? I think he did.
Did he?
Remember Inside Man, the bank robber?
Who played Jackie Robinson in that bio? Oh, that was another Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford's
Good in that.
I just want to point that out. Who played?
The Black Panther guy did, right?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you're not going to name a movie. I guess it is 12 Years a Slave. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it would be.
It will be. Oh, all right. Yeah. He's also good as Scar in The Lion King, Chuck, and I know. You know, I know how you love those animated movies.
Exactly.
Chuck, let's go back in time now and go through movies that remind us of summer. And, you know, there's a ton of movies. It was hard to rank these movies, Chuck, because there's just so many that that just bring back a lot of memories. Right.
Would Beyond a Poseidon Adventure on this list?
That takes place the day after New Year's. So I don't think it's really.
But it seemed like it was fairly warm, though.
Am I right? I don't know. They really didn't specify. That is the day after New Year's. Is that January 2nd that movie takes place?
Yes, morning of.
But maybe the best way to do it is go through chronologically. Is that the best way to do it, Chuck? Can we do it that way?
Randomly pop movies off, and I'll give you my opinion.
Well, the first one I think of, and then when you're cruising up and down, you know, during the summertime, is American Graffiti reminds me of summer, as these kids are on their last day before they go back to college with Ron Howard and Richard Dreyfuss, obviously Harrison Ford for that matter as well.
You know, here's what's interesting. I remember seeing American Graffiti in a theater. I did. I don't know if it was a re-release. You know what name pops in my head? How about Wolfman Jack?
Oh, yeah. He's the crux of that whole movie in and of itself. Yeah, he's the DJ at the end.
That brought back a nice memory. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. American Graffiti, to me, personifies that growing up in the 60s, Chuck, and the 50s, late 50s, and you remember more American Graffiti.
American Graffiti, would we have had the TV show Happy Days? Probably not.
Probably not.
There's no doubt that was a semi-unauthor, not official spinoff.
Oh, yeah, and I don't... And they tried to use that as for more American Graffiti, and nobody really cared.
No,
without having Richard Dreyfuss in,
as a strange sequel, yeah. To say the least.
Would we have had Hooper? Would we have had Richard Dreyfuss as Hooper if it wasn't for American Graffiti?
Probably not.
Maybe not. Let's go through the list some more. Chuck, another movie I just watch. I watch every 4th of July. It reminds me of summertime. Is Roller Coaster with my good buddy George Segal.
You got a bit of an unorthodox list here, but
I'm telling you, that reminds
I'm rolling with you.
Roller Coaster, go to an amusement park.
That's fun. Good pick. I like that.
Yeah, and I saw it in the middle of the summer too. I saw it in the theaters at a very, very, very young age. Remember that movie got lost.
I actually did not see that in the theater, believe it
really?
Or not.
Really? Not Sense Around? You didn't see it?
No, I did not. The transfer is pretty good on Blu-ray though, right?
It's great. Yeah, it's really good. And of course, it got lost in the shuffle of Star Wars that year, but it is a very effective thriller that, you know, be hard to redo again, Chuck, but that's a lost classic in my mind. I just feel like people are missing the boat on that one tremendously. How about going to summer camp, Chuck, in the late 70s, early 80s? Meatballs. I mean,
Listen, Bill Murray, I love Meatballs. Like, that's another one I saw on that that cable service, WHT. I watched it so many times over and over every time it came on.
Still plays, Chuck. It still plays.
It does. It has a nice. It has a really nice
big heart.
You know, bouncing into summer camp movies. I'd put Friday the 13th on that list.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I would.
Yeah definitely.
I mean, a little bit of a different outcome.
A lot of a different outcome.
All right, I get it.
I will
it.
Say my daughter loves meatballs.
Oh, I thought she loved Friday the 13th. I thought she was finally evolving.
No, not yet.
Reemerging.
Chuck, there's no better, I would say, when Spaz wins the cup balance, the competition at the end of that film, it's as good as Rocky knocking out a
Apollo. And that kid, Chris Makepeace, right?
He's gosh, yeah.
Yeah, he was really good.
How about another? I don't know if you saw the summer camp movie, Wet Hot American Summer, with Paul Rudd and the cast of characters. Very funny movie. Bradley Cooper's in that movie as well.
Okay.
And they did a Netflix series based on the movie as well. Very funny. And how about, I know a movie you're fond of, doesn't take place in the summer, but it's about summer camp, Indian Summer, with Bill Paxton and the cast of characters that go back to help Alan Arkin and his summer camp. You remember that movie?
I do not.
You don't remember Indian Summer?
I do not.
Wow.
Where did I go that summer that I missed?
I don't know. The Diane Lane? No?
Uh-huh.
No? Nothing?
Can I throw one out at you?
Go ahead. Give me something.
How about Karate Kid from 84?
Oh, yeah. That's a summer.
I mean, that definitely makes you feel summery.
It does. It definitely does. It's, you know, a lot of it takes place during the school year, but we'll ignore that. It does. I just watched it again, and it does. When he gets there, it's the end of summer. You're right. For some reason.
And can I throw out another one or two?
You throw out whatever you want, buddy.
How about Stand By Me, Rob Reiner?
Oh, that's
Stand
on my me. List, too. Yeah, that's a go summer movie. Camaraderie, finding dead. Who didn't find a dead body in the middle of the summer?
I got another one. I got another one to bounce off you. How about Sandlot?
Sandlot's on my list, too. I put Sandlot and Stand By Me kind of in the same category there, Chuck.
If you ever played baseball when you were a kid in the schoolyard, in the parks, not organized, Sandlot's the mover for you.
Well, right? Yeah, definitely.
It captures that feel beautifully.
It absolutely does. And you know what's interesting about that, too? Not a lot of baseball movies on my list, but the one that is, and for some reason, Bull Durham feels more like a summer movie, baseball movie than any other. You're just a hot summer's in the middle of August, and you're watching these baseball games. You know, for some reason, that movie, more than other baseball movies, just reminds me of the middle of summer.
Okay.
I have that down on my list.
I got another one.
Go ahead.
Adventureland.
That's on my list as well. Running a...
It's one of my favorite... It might be my favorite thing Kristen Stewart's ever done. She's good in that movie. She's
very
good in
that
movie. And, you know, because her acting... We always saw her... She has a really strange acting style. She's very internal.
And it's
She felt more outgoing, and I like this movie.
It's a very toned down Ryan Reynolds too in that movie.
Yes.
Too. He gives a good performance.
Jesse Eisenberg, it's good.
And Jesse Eisenberg's good. And along those lines,
yeah.
And I know you haven't seen it yet, but I really want you to see it. In that same category, Going Away for Summer, The Way Way Back. I need you to see that movie still, Chuck. It's one of my favorite coming of age movies with Steve Carell and Toni Collette. About a young boy and his mom with her boyfriend going away to summer up the shore. He can't get along with his dad, so he goes and works at a water park with Sam Rockwell, another great performance.
Okay, I know you love this movie.
I love this movie. It's on my list. It's definitely one of those that you got to go see. You want to go back to summer camp, Chuck? Not quite summer camp, but how about going away to the Hamptons for summer? Nobody puts Baby in a Corner, Chuck. Dirty Dancing's on my list.
It's on my list, too. I love that movie.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that in a theater, and that was released by a company called Vestron. Remember Vestron, which is now defunct. And that movie was what they call a sleeper hit. I don't think when they released that they expected what they got, which was a hit and a movie that stood the test of time. One of the best Patrick Swayze movies ever, and it's a really nice coming of age love story, and his aura and persona in that movie.
Yeah.
Is just captured beautifully.
Yeah,
and she's really good too, Jennifer Grey.
She's really good.
Really good in that classic scene. Don't Put Baby in a Corner.
Yeah,
that movie's popular.
Very
really
popular. How about Chuck? You got to have this on your list. How about Going Away for the Summer?
Going
on
away
a road trip.
Not on my list.
National Lampoon's Vacation.
It's not on my list because Chevy, I understand why I understand it's like a pinnacle on a summer.
That list. Is the summer movie, no?
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean.
How about this one?
Well, let me ask you this before you go into that. Did you ever go away? Because I did. Our family, you know, our long road.
Oh, I had a deprived childhood. No.
Oh. Did you go down the block?
You're bringing out scars. I don't want to.
Many people, much like me, did travel with their family on vacation in a car, a long drive. And National Lampoon's Vacation is a classic, Chuck.
Yeah, you met more than a few Christy Brinkleys in your life, huh?
Yeah, that's
all right,
the point.
Very good.
My mom didn't look like Beverly D'Angelo either. God bless her.
How's this one? Very different than Vacation. How about Spike Lee's Not Do the Right Thing, which would be there.
It's on my list,
How about Summer of Sam?
Yeah.
How about, I tell you why that movie's fascinating. It's flawed.
I didn't like it, but I know what you're saying.
1978. Hot summer, right?
Yep.
You got the Yankees in a World Series run. You got a blackout, a historic blackout in New York City, and you got one of the most infamous serial killers wreaking havoc on Brooklyn, New York. And he captures that in Summer of Sam. A flawed movie, no doubt, but still. And it's really interesting because John Leguizamo and Mia Savino, it's like their story. It's like a fictional story of them and then a non-fictional of all these events.
Yeah.
And it merged. And it's really – and you could argue a little bit of ahead of its time in terms of its screenwriting, what he did there. But I am fascinated by this movie, and I do like it. And it captures summer.
It does capture the summer. I think there's a better movie to be made on the subject.
Maybe.
Sure. And Adrian Brody, that character, it just – I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's –
what are we doing here?
Well, his characters are that's the part that's flawed.
Yeah, there's too many characters you don't even care about in this movie, and it goes on. And again, I think what he tried to do is kind of like Titanic, the iconic, and he puts characters within a vessel that, you know, around the thing, and it just, I don't know, these characters, when you don't care about the characters enough, it doesn't matter where they are.
I get your point. It feels like summer, though.
I never forget, after I saw that movie in the summer, coming home, the girl I was dating at the time, she slammed the door in my thumb by accident.
Ouch.
So you got
a bowler's thumb.
Oh, my God. It was so much pain, Chuck.
I can imagine that.
I do have another.
Are you sure it was an accident?
How about a couple of – good point. How about playing golf in the summer, Chuck? Does Caddyshack remind you of summer at all? Because I saw that in the middle of the summer. The first R-rated nude scene I've ever seen on the big screen. I was 10 years old. Was Caddyshack.
Hello.
But again, that movie has stood the test of time, and it is essentially a movie about the summertime on a golf course. Not on your list.
No.
Why?
I don't know. I guess
you're not much of a golfer, though, right?
Not at all. Never golfed.
How about Weekend at Bernie's? Is that on your list?
No, it's not, but it would be a decent one. How about Grease, Mike?
Grease is the word. Yes, it's on my list. It's a definite summer movie.
Absolutely.
Even though it takes place entirely during a school year for some
– by end of school.
The end of school at the
end. Because they graduate at the end. Late spring? Okay.
Do the Right Thing, by the way, is on both our lists. I mean, we talk about that a lot. That is the ultimate summer movie in New York City. And also on my list – and I'm sure it's on yours, and we could talk another half hour about this movie, or both these movies, is Jaws and Jaws 2. I mean, is there any movie that epitomizes summer?
No, I mean, if you said on the big screen, let's go watch Jaws and Jaws 2 on July 4th, I'd be there.
Yeah. I mean, it is the quintessential summertime movie, even though a lot of bad things happen on it. I mean, you're in the smack dab in the middle of the 4th of July. It's just classic Americana, no doubt about it. Traveling Through the Summer. Chuck, did we miss any of your movies that remind you of summer?
No, I think that's a good one. It's a good list. I had fun. Actually, it's very interesting going through, because I love summer.
Yeah.
I like spring and fall. I hate winter. I just don't like winter anymore. But I love summer.
There's some good winter movies.
And we are living the most interesting summer, as we said, of our lifetime.
It'll be interesting to see the first movie about what we're going through, Chuck.
And it was so enjoyable to banter about Beyond the Poseidon Adventure again. Thank you.
Well, how about next week we do movies on a boat? How about that? You want to do that? And then
I'd like that.
How about we do movies on a boat that's upside down with guns and Telly Savalas?
I know my number one.
You want to do all Telly Savalas movies, we can.
And we give a prize for the person who calls in first and names the character Telly Savalas played in that film.
Oh, Jesus.
Full name.
You know it, and that's the scary part, people. He knows it exactly, what it is. All right, Chuck. We'll wrap things up here on that note. When is the Beyond the Design Adventure reunion? Because there's still, you know,
came out in 79. I'm Mark all for Harmon. Doing it. I'm doing a red carpet 41st anniversary. Let's do it.
And the number one question is, where's Carl Malden? I know he passed away, but is his character still alive?
One of the weirdest death scenes of all time. You're 2 feet from the ocean. Let me swim sideways and off myself.
You think it was Irwin Allen? He had a quota of how many had to die in that movie, and he's
probably
like, oh, shoot, we're one short.
He's like, ah, you know what? Just swim to the side. You can go home.
All right, Chuck. We'll do this again next week. Have a good one.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Movie Maniacs. Download one of our archived episodes. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.